This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Super Bowl Monday, we are down with the king topic of the day. We'll get to the Super Bowl in just a minute. Here we've been discussing both that and Aaron Rodgers. Jay Glazer had that report yesterday, BT, ahead of the game itself, that Rodgers flew to New Jersey to meet with the Jets last week, and that they decided, I guess the team let him know that they were going to go in a different direction. And that is that, the end of the Aaron Rodgers era. And even though I wanted Rodgers back for obvious reasons, and we've talked about a lot of those reasons, most importantly, I think he's the best quarterback that they could find this year to help them win games, I do understand it, and I do think it's the right move under these circumstances. I wanted Pete Carroll. I wanted Mike McCarthy. I wanted Aaron Rodgers to take a run at it next year and try to actually win some games with this franchise. But with a new GM, a rookie GM at that, rookie head coach in Aaron Glenn, I feel like it's the right move because maybe Rodgers' presence, not to a fault of anybody's, but maybe Rodgers' presence could have been a negative. Now there's no dispute who's in charge. It's Aaron Glenn, and I think that's a good thing for the Jets.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't agree with it. You know this. I would have brought back Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not going to just, keep harping on this forever. I mean, it's they made their decision. It's not the one that I would have made. However, I will say this. The one thing that at least the early returns that it's going to be a little different in that building is how swiftly they came to resolution. This didn't drag out. Now, listen, you're not keeping Jay Glazer from getting a massive pop like this. Jay's batting average is basically 1,000 when it comes to this stuff.
He got it from Rodgers, no?
I don't know where he got it from, but Jay Glazer is as good as it gets with this stuff. He's just almost always right. But I will say, I think that the Jets did a pretty good job of keeping this in the building until yesterday on the pregame show. Like, they met last week. We didn't hear anything about, we didn't know about the meeting. We didn't know about the tone of the meeting. So to me, right away, there's more of a clandestine, under the radar, off the record operation, which is the complete opposite of, guys tweeting what they think with Robert Saleh, Robert Saleh texting Joe Beningo, Saleh in his clueless press conferences. Like, again, I don't agree with the jettisoning Aaron Rodgers. I don't like the options. We got through some of them. We'll get to them again later. I would have kept them, but at least it does seem like they have their vision. They've got their conviction, and they want to move forward without Rodgers. So I don't like it, but I understand it, and I actually do respect it, too.
Yeah, and moving forward, it just feels, and, I'm a huge Rodgers fan, but it just feels a lot cleaner for this. It doesn't mean it's going to work out. Now, they're going to, look, in all likelihood, you're going to take it on the chin. It doesn't guarantee that the Jets are going to have a losing season, but in my mind, at least, and I know in yours as well, BT, it feels a lot more difficult to have a successful season when you're taking the quarterback that could have had some success here out of the equation, and you're staring at potentially Tyrod Taylor or Joey Stopgap, probably not going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers. The team, though, getting team guys, we're going to put them, the team first, maybe that could add up to some more wins here, but I just feel like it's a lot cleaner of a break, and hopefully Muji and Glenn have some runway here and are not going to be judged immediately and then have that snowball to a negative spot to where Woody starts interfering in year two or three and then move on. Give them the runway, let them change the culture and clean this thing up, but know that there's going to be, a learning curve here and some bumps along the way.
I'm going to definitely give them a long grace period. I really am. Listen, unless there's just utter ineptness from the get-go, which I don't anticipate at all, I think Aaron Glenn is going to be really, really good. I'm really excited. The one thing, and here's a little silver lining, because you guys know that I want a Rodgers back, but let me flip this to you. So we watched, we obviously know because we watched, so they always tried to do it backwards. Like, they would draft the young quarterback, Darnold third, Zach Wilson two, and they would have those young players come in, and like the foundational bricks were never in place. They never had an offensive line. They never had stable coaching. And really, Darnold didn't even really have any weapons. If you think it was like, who caught the 90-something yard touchdown?
Robbie Anderson
against the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. So he didn't even really have a lot of weapons. Maybe what they're thinking here is, hey, yeah, we'll eventually find a quarterback, whether it's a third rounder, whether it's a second rounder, whether it's somebody at 7 or 15 or 20, whatever. But maybe their mindset is, whenever we find that person, when he comes in, guess what? He's not going to have to do that much. Hand it off a little bit,
yeah.
Good pass protection, good functional O-line, a scheme that the building has known offensively for a year or two or maybe even three. Like, maybe there's a different level of continuity, and maybe it's just built better and different.
Yeah, and that's why I like it.
I'm not going nuts, even though I wanted Rodgers. I get it. I do. I do get it, man.
Think about Bowles. Bowles had to go from Fitzpatrick, which was the one-year, you know, kind of fluke thing, then to Sam Darnold. Obviously, it didn't work out. And then Zach Wilson with Robert Saleh, young experience offensive coordinator, young inexperienced head coach, young inexperienced quarterback. Like, it was just a recipe for disaster. Gase trying to fix, who was it before that? Was it Gase with Darnold? Gase after Bowles, right? Yeah, I mean, so think about each coach that came in already had the quarterback in place that they were supposed to make something of. Now they're going to try to build the foundation without the quarterback. And there's something that's appealing about that to me. And it's not just because it's Aaron Glenn and Muji or because that's the way that they're going. It's because of the moves that these guys have already made prior to Aaron Rodgers cleaning up some of the people that were in the building forever.
Well, yes, and all we've seen is Jet quarterbacks underachieve. We never see a Jet quarterback overachieve, and I can't say how many times. Now, granted, we know who the studs are in the NFL, but you know, you look at like Brock Purdy, who's not a stud. He's fine, but I'm like, man, and there's other situations, by the way. Even Ryan Tannehill back in the day with Tennessee when they were winning some games with Vrabel, run-reliant, you know, not really pushing the ball down the field too much, but the numbers were good and the wins were there. I look around the league, I'm like, well, you know, why can't the Jets, even if the Jets ever find like a slightly above average quarterback, but everything around him is good.
Right.
Like, that's a path to be competitive as well.
Right. And that's what I think they're going to try to do. Now, they're going to have to go out there and do it, and they're going to do so without Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, the other thing that we discussed, the Super Bowl, hard to believe that Nick Sirianni is a Super Bowl champion head coach, but you got to give the Eagles all the credit in the world. They have built a, you know, look, they're not a dynasty, certainly, but being in, you know, two of the more recent Super Bowls, winning one against these Chiefs, what is it, two of the last three Super Bowls that they've been in now with Sirianni. Last year, we was on the verge of getting fired, all the talent that Howie Roseman has built that Eagles team with, dominating the game in the trenches, dismissing of the Chiefs with ease in yesterday's game, and really one of the worst Super Bowl matchups, BT, as it played out there that I could remember watching.
It was I couldn't wait for the, honestly, I couldn't wait to go to bed.
Yeah, it was non-competitive.
Couldn't wait to go to bed.
Yeah, at least won a game, and they didn't give us one.
There was no game, and the thing too, like, you look at a coach, especially in a big game, like, all right, and we could sit there, and I know Sirianni is not like a Parsons, he's not an old-timer, obviously. He's flawed. And he was almost fired, you're right, last year, Sal. And he's got to get the contract now because he's lame duckish. But, you know, I look at a coach, are you ready to play? You come out of a tunnel, you got a big game. Is there focus? Is there discipline? Is there energy? And think about the way the Eagles looked yesterday, and think about the way the Chiefs look. The Chiefs were scattered. They were uninspired. They were lackluster. They were a little soft in certain spots. They didn't execute at all. And that is a reflection on. I mean, if we say that Andy Reid's great when they look good, don't you have to kind of say that Andy Reid had an awful day? Well, you do, in addition to the players having an awful day. And I think that the opposite applies to somebody like Sirianni, where too many times we take a coach that we think is less than, and we're like, wow, he's just there for the ride, and he just, you know, he doesn't elevate, but he doesn't get in the way. Whatever they did in practice leading up to the Super Bowl, Sirianni had that team ready to go. Yeah. And he's got to get credit.
Yeah, they were dominant, and they've been dominant the majority of the year after a slow start, after he was yelling at some of the fans there on the sideline. So the Eagles culminate their terrific season with a Super Bowl win and a dominant one over Reed and Mahomes. And you said this earlier. I don't think that, in my mind, it's going to diminish the greatness of Mahomes and Reed. But it does go to show you, everybody's like always putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's going to be better than Brady and Mahomes. Oh, look at this.
Montana.
Yeah, all this stuff. Like, hey, he just got his, Mahomes, and he played awful in the game, got his rear end kicked. I still think he's one of the great quarterbacks we've ever seen, independent of the result. If they won this game, it doesn't mean that, in my mind, he's better than Tom Brady. It just means that, you know, maybe he's got a chance to actually get more Super Bowl wins, whatever. We'll see here. But the fact that they got clobbered, it's bad for the Chiefs, meaning that I don't know if they're going to be able to get back to that point of dominance mm-hmm. that they've been at for the last several years, but I don't look at Andy Reid any less than, or even Patrick Mahomes. They had an awful game,
yep.
but I mean, still, their greatness, you know, for years will always be recognized.
I'm with you. And by the way, if we said anything to the contrary, we would be hypocrites and contradicting ourselves, because we also always say somebody like Ewing or Stockton, Malone, Barkley, guys who didn't quite get there.
Yeah.
You know, we don't necessarily hold it against them to the degree that other people do. Now, I'll say this. I do think Mahomes is absolutely better than Tom Brady. But I don't mean from a legacy perspective. Yeah. I mean just if I'm starting a team tomorrow and I got 10 years of Mahomes or I got 10 years of Brady, I'm taking Mahomes every time. You know, he's quicker. He's got a better arm. He improvises better. Yesterday was just a really, really bad game. What it does is it does remind people and probably reinforce that Brady was just really as clean as it got. Like he never looked like that. Like Mahomes looked awful.
Yeah, I mean, Brady's played some bad games, and maybe the Super Bowl that they came back and ended up beating the Falcons in might have been his worst Super Bowl performance, down 28-3 late third quarter. But he came back and won that game. And I thought, was thinking for a second, that was the one at halftime I'm like, man, the only rooting interest here is to see if we can see another historic comeback. And Mahomes has the opportunity to do what Brady did in Super Bowl 51 and bring his team back. But you just knew that it was over. The Chiefs were non-competitive in that game against the Eagles. So even with that opportunity to have that great comeback, a la Tom Brady, Mahomes couldn't, and things just got worse for Kansas City. BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It also culminates the Giants' 100th season in the worst way possible, with their arch rival, the Eagles, winning a Super Bowl, Saquon Barkley kissing the Vince Lombardi trophy with his family afterwards. You kind of had to expect it at this point, Giant fans know. Back to the Jets. Anthony's in Harlem, BT, talking about Aaron Rodgers. What's up, Ant?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Ant. What's going on, buddy?
BT, you asked a great question. You said, how come the Jets can never take a quarterback and elevate his level of play?
Yeah.
And what you saw last night with Jalen Hurts, what you see with Brock Purdy, what you even see with Jared Goff is you see excellent culture, you see good coaching, and a superior 53-man roster. That's what the Eagles had last night. The better roster won. Now, I'm disappointed as a Jet fan, BT, that the Rodgers thing, we only won 5 games in 2 years, which is mind-blowing. But this was the best decision for the 53 guys, because if you look at what they had to pay him, even if they restructured mm-hmm. and kicked the can down the road, and also the other part of this that people are forgetting is Davante Adams. That information, you saw that leak this weekend that, oh, he wants to go to the West Coast, because they told him, we're not restructuring you, buddy. We're cutting you or we're trading you. So I can't put money on the books for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams for 2026, 2027, when I want to build the best 53. And you know what that involves? Paying Garrett, paying Sauce, paying Jermaine Johnson, and getting better players here so that we can put the best 53 yep. to win a Super Bowl, not win 9 games next right. year with this Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's what it's about. This is the right football decision, and I don't know if you saw the tweet that Quinnen Williams put out.
I did.
Did he delete it?
He did.
He deleted yeah. it in 2 hours, because what I'm hoping is maybe Aaron Glenn or somebody from the Jets said, knock it off. We don't do that here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's done.
Good.
You make some good points there, Ant. You really do. Now, you also present it in a way that it's going to absolutely work for the Jets, and we don't know that it will, and we're going to give Aaron, you know, plenty of room to figure this thing out. They've been so bad for so long, it's not a quick, ideal fix, and there's so many different ways they could have gone, but I get it. You know, it's a new sheriff, and the stupid tweets, and the leakage of certain feelings, it's got to end, man. And I think it's going to end with Aaron Glenn. I really do.
What did he tweet? I saw the thumbs down emoji. Was there something else that got deleted?
Yeah. I don't know if he deleted the thumbs down. I know he deleted this one. And it right. was something along the lines of, I guess we're going to have to I guess another rebuild for me. Or I guess I'm going through another rebuild. Something like that.
Just a stupid
yeah,
comment.
Yeah, I get
dude.
It. He's pissed off, but nobody cares. Dude, haven't won a damn thing yet. And by the way, Quinnen, he didn't really have a good season this year.
Yeah, but and what's he so upset about? Like, that's how you get. I don't know about you, BT, and just put yourself, the listener, right? Put yourself in the spot of Quinnen Williams. You're an employee with a new boss taking over.
I know.
And you're going to have the gall to go out there and indirectly or directly insult him and his decision making.
That's exactly what you do. It's a good point. That's what you did. I mean, you insulted their decision. You say you don't agree with it.
And that to me shows a lack of respect and understanding that and also a selfish nature that Quinnen Williams thinks he's above that. That's not going to fly with Aaron Glenn, nor should it. Good for Glenn. I hope Williams gets in, I don't know about trouble, but like let him know, hey, whatever happened before that you think that this is okay, I don't know where you got that from, but it's not. I don't accept stuff like that. There's a new sheriff in town, and this is how we do things. Because I'm a winner. You've been a loser. I'm a winner. And this is how we're going to win. So stop with the tweeting and the social media and your hasty comments that are disrespectful. Enough of that nonsense. You want to play football and be a football player and win? This is what you got to do. And if you don't, you could go do it somewhere else.
I agree. Well said. I'll tell you, too, you know, we talk about culture and how elusive it's been. And I know it's an overused word, whatever, but I mean, it's overused because the Jets are always searching for it. When you have culture, you don't really talk about culture. You just enjoy it, right? Rather than always figuring out how the hell can you change the culture. The fact that Quinnen and all these other guys, and they're young, and it's a different, the athlete's different, so I don't crush them, but the fact that they think that they can just put their feelings out there so freely just tells you how destroyed the culture was.
Right.
And
no accountability.
No, and now here's the first checkpoint. I guarantee, I'm not saying that Aaron Glenn, you know, was blowing up his phone, lighting him up, but I guarantee it was a direct message that was received. Hey, young man, young buck, you're a big piece of this, but we don't do this anymore moving forward. This is a new day. And you know what? If Quinnen Williams is the person that I believe he is and the player, he's like, I got it.
Yep.
I got you.
You hope.
I believe he is.
It's not just going to be Quinnen Williams. It's going to be every player in that locker room.
Yeah, but they'll take the cue from the leaders.
Yep. Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Mario is in Long Beach talking about the Super Bowl. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, guys? You know, it's very interesting. I'm looking at Mahomes, right? And one of the greatest things I think everybody will agree upon, he could play bad. He always makes great plays down the stretch. He's done it like for his whole career, you know? Mm-hmm. And this game, he just started out bad and everything like that. And I was thinking about this, and I looked at this, and, you know, Serena Williams, you were talking about earlier, I think, dancing and stuff, and Djokovic. Those are like two of the best tennis players in the world, right? Both of them had a situation where they were going for the Grand Slam in the year. That hasn't happened in 50 years. And they play great under pressure, and both of them in the last match that they were going to win to make that Grand Slam, they played bad. I think he felt the pressure of winning three in a row, and that got to him, and that's why he played bad. I think that had part of it.
It's not a bad read.
In terms of what Philly said.
Yeah.
I really believe that. What do you guys think?
Could be a pretty deep. Now, we don't know, but I think it's a pretty decent read. I would feel much better about that statement. Well, I'm certainly not going to refute it because it could be true. He just didn't look right physically. He looked tired. His eyes, his whole demeanor, what he projected, he looked like he was sick.
Yeah, I don't know, because he made a play, I'm pretty sure it was in the second half. The game was already over. But he made a play, and it got called back because of an offensive holding. But he looked as elusive and as into it. He was running the football.
The
he switched it to his left hand.
I remember the play.
I was like, Jesus. I mean, that is some freaking play. I know it got called back. But anyway, point is, I don't know. I know what you're saying. Like, he didn't look like his normal self. I could not believe some of the throws that he made.
Mm-hmm.
The interceptions that he threw were just awful throws. I'm talking about the ones underneath, not the deep throw down the field. I don't know what was up with Mahomes. I would tend to think that maybe there was a confidence in just knowing that, oh, we got this. We win them all. We found a way to win. Maybe there was an element of, hey, nobody's ever done this before, winning the third game. Maybe there was the element of getting behind and just getting steamrolled like that. Down 24-0. And that was what it was at half. Like, even when Hopkins dropped that ball, it was 24-0. Still, all right, you're going to make it 24-7. Like, they're licking their wounds at that point. They couldn't protect anybody up front.
Mm-hmm.
So any quarterback, you saw the feet. They were showing his happy feet. I think there was a lot of circumstance. I don't know if it was just because he was sick or wasn't into it or even just the pressure. I think it was a lot with Mahomes.
I'm sure it's a couple different factors. Listen, the thing that he was able to do is, and the great ones are, they're like Jedis with this. You give me it's really a numbers game. I know we don't necessarily look at it like this, but it comes down to a numbers game. And if you can just have four guys put their hand in the dirt and move forward and not have guys coming from level two and level three, where then Mahomes can see that, diagnose it immediately, and just, shoom, there's 37. Boom, there's 55. There's a gash because they have one less guy than we do. Well, then you take away the advantage, not to mention the arm talent and all the anticipatory skills. Like, he just wasn't able to exploit anything because the Eagles, they just beat everybody up front.
Yeah, and maybe for the first time, at least in a long time, he got dominated by the better team. Like, yeah, all these other teams that they've been playing in the AFC all year long or whatever the matchups, they were not, you know, they might have been the better team or on equal footing. Maybe just the Eagles are that much better than the Chiefs.
I think they are.
Yeah, me too.
I think they are.
Me too. I don't even think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC now they made it to the Super Bowl again. But
yeah, I picked the Bills to beat them. Yeah, I picked the Bills.
I think Eagles-Ravens would have been a better matchup. Maybe Eagles-Bills. Yeah. Maybe Eagles-Lions. I think the Lions would have dominated the Chiefs the same way.
The way they looked against the Commanders, I can't go that far.
Yeah, well, with their defense being banged up. But still, I feel like the Lions just a lot tougher than Kansas City. This Chiefs team all year long has been playing with fire.
Yep.
And last night they got burned.
Scale of 1 to 10, what'd you think of Brady?
I thought he was a 7 or an 8. I thought he was good last night, me personally.
Yeah, a lot of the people I was watching the game with, they were complaining about him. I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine.
What were they complaining about him last night?
He's boring, he's stiff, he's this, he's that.
I don't think he's got the I don't think he was bad last night. As somebody who watched him quite a bit this year, obviously, I thought there were moments where, oh my God, he just doesn't have it. Last night I thought he was calm, cool, collected, relaxed. I thought he had some humor in there as well. I just don't think he's got the broadcasting
presence, huh?
Or like, he doesn't have that presence.
Yeah.
You need the presence. Aikman's got that presence.
It jumps off the page right away. Romo, Romo's, whatever. I like Tony, but you knew right away. Okay, interesting. Like, you see certain guys, they retire, they go right to the TV set. Like Nate Burleson, just, oozing charisma. Like certain other guys, too. You know, I think Matt Ryan's very good on TV in year one. And certain guys have it right away and some guys don't. You know, I wonder, Brady's also in a weird spot. How critical do you want to be?
Yeah.
You're the legend that Mahomes is being compared to. I don't know. And there's a lot of moving parts. I think he was better than maybe some people are saying. But, like, the crew that I was watching the game with, they were like, he's boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get that feeling myself. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. Get into the Knicks coming up in the Johnnies. Maybe we'll do that at the 1 o'clock hour, BT. Have some fun talking some hoops. A long week, though. We could have plenty of time to get to that. Today, a Rodgers day and a Super Bowl day. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. A lot of stuff from the Super Bowl yesterday, BT, we didn't even get into. Did you see? I'll never understand fans, quote unquote, celebrating by damaging stuff and destroying stuff. Did you see this? Like, I heard Boomer and Joe, I think it was Jerry, played a cut from one of his updates where Philadelphia Eagles fans down in the city of Philadelphia tore down a light post and were stepping on it and smashing it. Like,
that, I don't get it.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? This is how we celebrate? To a point where, like, I know a lot of Eagle fans working at SNY. My buddy Sean Gelman, huge Eagles fan. He's like, oh, if they win, I'm going to go out in the city afterward. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Oh, he was going to go out?
Yeah, he might have. I think he said he went to a bar. But, like, you're going to go downtown where people are shooting off guns and jumping off trucks and killing themselves and falling off these light poles? Like, what are we doing here?
That's not how I would celebrate. Although, I got to be honest, when the Yankees won the 96 World Series, I actually climbed up the light pole. I did.
What were you thinking?
I was just out of college, and I was pumped. It was the first World Series, and I was drunk. What do you mean?
Yeah,
but I wasn't destroying stuff. I was celebrating. I was having a good time. A big difference.
For me, that's never been it. I do, like, it just feels like people need to let loose and destroy things or damage their own bodies. And, like,
I think you have a lot of unhappy people in the world right now. I think a lot of people, the money, a lot of anger.
Okay, but when you're happy, you celebrate it by destroying stuff or shooting guns off or, God forbid, killing yourself like we saw some people do after the championship game.
Not me. But I think that the alcohol, I think it just jades senses. And I think that the aggression is first jovial. The celebration begins jovially, if you will. Like, people are happy, right? But then as the night goes on, and you keep drinking or you keep doing whatever you're doing, it's just something to be said for crowds and...
Yeah.
As time goes on deeper into the night, aggression always seems to take over.
And it is, I'm thinking in my own mind, like people our age, but it's not. It's younger.
No, it's not us.
Yeah,
it's younger people.
So, I mean, everybody does stupid stuff when they're young. I don't know. I feel like if I were ever fortunate enough to see one of my teams win a championship, That would not be what I would be looking to do, go out there and smash things and break things and get reckless with things. And, you know, it takes away the fun. And it's not just Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia gets a bad rap, but and they've earned whatever rap that they get, but this goes on in everywhere.
It's been going on for a long time. I remember when I was working in Detroit in the early 2000s, one of my first jobs, as I've referenced before, but Michigan State was really good. Yeah. That was when Tom Izzo started getting it cranked up. And I remember one of the things they would do in East Lansing, which is where Michigan State is, like they would light cars on fire and they would start fires. And like even back this 20 years ago, right. This has kind of, you know, permeated society. I mean, again, I'm going to ask the question I always seem to ask. Is it amplified more because now everybody's got a phone and we see it? Rather than just reading a little blurb in the newspaper or a little snippet on the 11 o'clock news? I don't know the answer.
Also, people climbing on the street posts, whatever, like you did, I don't think that was, I can't speak for you, and you could speak better because you actually did it, but I also feel like that's not something that is destructive by nature. I feel like you're just trying to get on top and celebrate and, you know, have some fun with that. But with those things, it could be dangerous. We saw the guy trying to hang on to one of those things. Fell off and got hurt, or the thing falling over. When it falls over and you're stomping on it and kicking it like these Philadelphia Eagles fans, it doesn't compute to me.
No, me neither. I remember, so that 96, I was there. That was when Charlie Hayes caught the ball. That was what I did after it.
Game.
I was at the game.
Okay.
Spilled out right underneath the tracks.
Yep.
And I climbed up and I had a good picture. And that's really why I climbed up. My buddy took a picture, like a little disposable camera. Right. It was 96. And then I remember in 98, the Padres.
Yeah.
They clinched on the road. Obviously, remember Scott Brosch has won the MVP.
Yeah.
And I'm in Bay Ridge, 3rd Avenue, this bar that's no longer around, O'Sullivan's, really, really fun bar. And, like, they won, and we all spilled into the street, and, like, the buses were honking, like, we were, but nothing dangerous. Yeah. It was, like, hundreds of people. I mean, we were all rocked and having a good time. Maybe some people throwing toilet paper, but we weren't destroying stuff. I don't know. I can't answer for that. I don't know. And I was young at that point, so I wasn't destroying stuff.
You're probably right that it is worse because we see the same thing with these fights in the stadiums. We see it now where it might have happened years ago. Like everybody keeps saying the same thing, like where we're at as a society. This has been going on for a long time, though.
It's
the same stuff that's been repeating for years. Okay, you could say that maybe it feels that there's a but to it, but I don't know. But other than going back and sometimes looking at the history of stuff, whether it's watching movies or reading a book or whatever, it's like, oh, wow.
For sure.
We're seeing a show. It's like, I didn't realize that it was going on then. Like, I was just watching this OJ stuff again.
Okay.
Did you see this, the most recent one on Netflix? Did we talk about this already?
Did I see? I don't know if I did.
No, you would know because it would.
Very recent?
Yeah. No. Within the last week or so.
No, definitely not in the last week.
Four-part thing on that.
And I'm OJ'd out, man.
I get it. And now, I don't even know why the timing of this particular release. But looking back, it's something that took place in 1995 to where we are now.
Yeah.
I guess it is 2025. Maybe that's why they did what is it? So 30 years exactly?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I felt like we had one. Sort of. So they did like the 20-year thing and now a 30-year thing with OJ. But looking back, like back then there was civil unrest and
100%.
Okay, so that's the and before that it was more so like,
well, there's always looting and there's fires, whether it was Newark, whether it was, you know, Detroit, whether it was I mean, absolutely,
there's
100%.
So whatever, celebrating in the streets and doing, you know, crazy things.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger differences, and I can't prove this, although the crime rates would suggest this, I feel like fewer people respect authority these days.
And do you think that's because
I think when you don't fear authority, you do whatever you want.
Right.
And I think it gets worse. Like, there's always been, you know, people jumping the turnstiles, you know, and, you know, whatever.
I see that all
of course.
Time.
Yeah. But now, I think people just jump, even if there's, I think they'll do it in front of a cop because I don't even think people care anymore.
Right.
What's
a cop going to do?
I mean, if you get out of jail, if you actually commit a real crime that night, what, are they going to throw you in jail for you hop a turnstile for $2 token?
I know we're kind of getting away
from swipe card.
$3,
you know what I mean.
Actually. Yeah, I know we're trying
It's three,
We're kind of getting away from it. I still just don't. You're right, and it all maybe ties together with social media, the way that we view these things, but I've just never comprehended the idea of your team winning, which should be the happiest moment for you as a sports fan.
Yep.
Feeling the need to do something dangerous / damaging, like breaking stuff or lighting cars on fire or
never
going. It's just a weird thing that would get fans off.
I also don't think, and we kind of assume that it is, but it's not. Like, we assume that people doing this are fans like, you know, us, like especially when we were younger. I think a lot of people just join the mob. Like, let's go Eagles. Like, they're not talking about third down blitz packages or drafts or whatever it might be, or what it was like when Detmer was there and early McNabb days when they were atrocious. Like, I do think a lot of the unrest after celebrations kind of gets worse when people who aren't the diehard fans start to jump in. They're like, oh, it's a party.
Right.
And they start going nuts.
They want to just go party and be a part of it. We saw this to a lesser extent with the Knicks in front of the Garden after every playoff win. Remember that was becoming a thing where people were climbing the post?
Yeah.
Just the mass crowds were going nuts. I never got that either. Like, especially after not winning a championship. That's even more embarrassing for a different reason. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're celebrating a first round win by climbing the light poles in the street and going nuts and people just,
it's not for me. I actually stay away from, rather than go to it, I actually go as far away as I can.
Correct.
No interest.
None. Now, again, we're older. But still, to me, it's just something that I felt like was worth bringing up. I just don't comprehend that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side, 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll get back to the calls here in just a minute. Been a busy show today. Flying by, BT, on the Super Bowl Monday with really only two topics so far. Rodgers and the Jets and the Super Bowl. We'll have plenty of time to get into the basketball this week. Try to get some before we say goodbye, too, in the 1 o'clock hour. But one thing that we haven't talked about with Rodgers is what's next for him. I know that that's not maybe the forefront of our mind, dealing with the Jets and what's going to be next for them. But is there a spot that Rodgers is going to play, even in fact if he wants to play, which I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to want to play in the NFL this year. I just don't know where that's going to be.
I'm with you. I think he wants to play, and I think he's going to play here. And where it is, we can kind of go through some things. I've got a couple of possibilities mm-hmm. here. But, I mean, the reason why I think he's going to play, I don't know that he flies to New Jersey to meet with Glenn and Muji last week like he did, per Jay's report, if he's not interested in, at least part of him is interested in playing. Now, maybe he, in his mind, he just wants to play for the Jets because he doesn't want to have to deal, you know, another building, move again. I don't know. I think that he wanted to come back and play for the Jets. They did not want him. So I believe his heart is telling him more yes than no to play football.
If he retired for whatever reason, did the Jets get off the hook with that cap, or they're screwed with that anyway?
God, that's the thing that I did least amount of research on.
Maybe
I gave you all
Hoff
the dead cap, and Hoff could get that for us.
Either way, I'd just be curious that now I'm with you. I don't think he wants to retire. But before you even give any odds, you have the odds for his next.
I got him. Yeah.
Like, just off the top of our heads, I'm going to go through the list of teams. You could give a quick yes or no as it's even a possibility.
I love this.
Niners.
Maybe.
Me too. Okay, so we'll say yes or no.
I'll say yes, rather than maybe, but maybe.
Arizona.
No.
Me neither. Seahawks.
No.
Rams.
If Stafford's gone, maybe. But then why wouldn't you just keep Stafford?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say maybe, but I'm not going to shut the door, but it would be weird.
I would say no. So far out of those four.
Although, what if Devontae Adams goes there because he wants to go to the West Coast? And they're going to trade Cooper Kupp. We know that. So if Cooper Kupp is gone and Stafford's gone, if you're Sean McVay, I'm not saying it's perfect, but I'm going to say more yes than no
to the
Rams.
You got two out of those four. I got one. Saints?
Maybe.
Yeah, I would say no there.
Maybe.
I mean, they still got Derek Carr. They're going to have Kellen Moore. I would say no to New Orleans myself.
Go ahead.
Carolina, no. Atlanta, no. Tampa Bay,
no.
Chicago, no.
No.
Green Bay, absolutely no. Minnesota.
Maybe.
I mean, can you imagine that?
If Darnold
follows
leaves.
Favre again.
Oh, God. Yes,
Darnold
I can.
Darnold leaves, right? McCarthy, yeah.
I could see the Vikings as being a team that is in the mix. Yes.
You know, I'm actually going to say yes as that, as a possibility. So far, I'm on two teams, I think.
I've got about five.
San Francisco and Minnesota. Detroit, no. Giants.
Yes.
Come on, he's not coming.
We'll get back to the Giants. There's a lot of meat on that bone. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say more yes than no.
I mean, I guess in theory it's a possibility, but I'm still going to say no. I'll say yes just for the sake of it is a possibility. Dallas, no.
No.
Washington, no.
No.
Philly, no.
No.
Vegas.
I think that's a very distinct possibility, but they need to find a young guy. But I'm going to say yeah.
Okay, you have to say yeah. Everybody else in that division, no. Titans?
I mean, they could draft one, and yes, but why would he want to go there?
Jaguars?
Like, I could see them wanting him, but I don't know why he would want them. Jaguars, no.
Colts?
Maybe. More yes than no.
Texans, no.
No.
Ravens, no.
No.
Bengals, no. Browns, he'd never go there.
But I think that they would want him.
Steelers?
Yes.
Okay. And then obviously the AFC East, it would be a no all the way around.
Yes.
All right, so there's a handful of teams, me less than you. Now, give me the odds. What do you got here? I have not seen
I'll give you the odds. I got them here. Now, keep in mind, guys, there's seven teams, actually, that have odds shorter than 10 to 1. So, right away, they're telling you there's some meat. There's some interest there. There's a lot of teams that, you know, where it's not like a Hail Mary. Shortest odds, Steelers, plus 200.
Okay. I can see that.
Me too. Absolutely. Okay. The Raiders, second, plus 3.
God. I mean, while Pete Carroll is there, you'd be now having my, what I wanted to do, but I wanted to do it here with a more talented team.
Plus, Brady's got a cut. You know, Brady wants to start winning some games here, you know.
Okay.
The 49ers, third at plus 350.
You see, that's the other appealing destination for me.
I agree.
He would love to go there. You get Shanahan, you get that offensive system, they're loaded around him.
But they're not going to give Purdy a contract? I mean, I'm not saying you give him $50 million a year. No, he's not that kind of player, but well, that's true. The Vikings are plus 400.
Okay.
All right. The Colts are plus 650. Then you get to the Rams, the Titans, and the Giants.
Point is, he's going to have some options.
Yes, he is. He's going to play next
year. He's going to have some options. For me,
I want you to play well.
I'm rooting because I love Rodgers. I want number one, the Niners.
Yep.
I guess number two.
Vikings.
Yeah.
Good situation.
I mean, I think it'd just be interesting to continue to follow in the path of Favre and have a chance to go stick it to the Packers. I'd like to see that. So I'd go Niners, Vikings, and then probably I want to see him with Pete Carroll, which would have been my recipe for the Jets here.
I think the three would be, I'm not going to put, now this is in terms of probability, not what I would want to see or what I think. I don't think the Niners are going to make a serious run at him.
Right.
It's a cute story. He wanted to get drafted there from Northern California. I don't see that happening. I think the Vikings, the Rams, and the Steelers are the three teams to keep an eye on the most.
Not even the Raiders?
No, because I think that they know that they have to find their guy. They got to find a young player. Now, the Giants. You dismissed the Giants right away.
Yeah.
Why?
Come on.
Do you think he could still play?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they need a franchise quarterback. He's not that right now. And they're nowhere near, like with the Jets, it was a different fit, not only because he was here, but because I believe their roster is more talented and more playoff ready if you're going to bring in a quarterback like that. What are the Giants going to do?
Well, what the Giants could do is they could draft Shedeur Sanders and they could have Aaron Rodgers on the team, too.
I mean, that's
asking for a lot there. That just sounds like a lot. A lot of trauma.
I think it's an awful fit. I would, if I'm the Giants, draft Sanders, and I expect that they're going to do that. I also would not start him, though, right away, but I'd look to get a veteran. I mean, it's going to be Drew Locke.
I mean, come on. Let me give you a better option for the Giants, because as I say this out loud, there's no way you would do Rodgers and Sanders or Rodgers and Cam Ward. That's not going to happen.
Fields and nothing? No, meaning
well,
no draft?
Yes. What about, because I've said this for a while, like if the Giants don't love one of those guys, number one, don't reach and just take them at three. Certainly don't move up to get somebody if you don't love them. So if you don't love the quarterbacks, why not move back, get some other good players, and go with Rodgers for a year?
I can't.
I know it's not going to happen, but it's not crazy.
No, and other people are saying it. I'd be shocked. I also don't think he's a fit at all. Like, imagine being Shane and Dable, who are on.
Yeah.
They're hanging on by a thread. They're going to go all in with Aaron Rodgers at 41 years of age in their potentially their final year, his first year with a new team.
Yeah.
And the difference, I would be shocked. Those odds are, to me, I would never touch those odds on that. I don't think it's happening.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I'm just throwing it out there. And again, with one of those quarterbacks in the top three, no. But like if they bypass that, even if they just took the best available player at seven or traded down, which I think makes a ton of sense. I've said that for a while, as you know. Mm. Like there's worse ways to go. Listen, the worst, what would be worse for that? For that regime right now, to go with Rodgers and be pretty competitive, or to go with one of these kids none of us really fully love, take his lumps, and then at the end of the season, we're like, did they draft the wrong guy?
I don't think either is going to. I mean, they might get fired either way, and if they do and they have a young quarterback and then you bring in the head coach who's got to fix that quarterback, I think the Giants have set themselves up here for potential disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, at this particular point with the way that they went about things, I would draft the quarterback assuming that they love him and bring in a guy who I think could be competitive and then transition to, let's say, Sanders in week 6 or 7, and now that's your guy. So you have the rest of this season just to see him evolve.
Yep.
You also have to have Shane and Dable coming back beyond next year. That's why we said, we both said that. If they were going to keep these two guys, it better be a commitment beyond just 1 year.
Yeah.
That's the way that I would have done it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, God, he's such a compelling figure. And I think
Rogers
many of... Yeah. And his presence and his history almost forces you on some level to think about things that are highly improbable, but you throw them out there like, well, maybe. I know some of the things we're thrown out there are fairly wacky, but I'll tell you, I said this to Sal in the first hour, maybe not the first segment, but maybe the second segment, definitely the first hour. Like, what is appealing? And one of the reasons I wanted him back with the Jets, and I'm not going to cry about this forever, but instead of rehabbing, he's training this offseason.
Yeah.
He didn't train last year. He rehabbed.
It's a big difference. I'd like to see him succeed elsewhere. I just don't think here would be a good fit. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to your calls, Jets, Super Bowl, when we come back, 888-808-1019.